Hi, y'all. I'm Julie.
Hi there. I'm Brenda. Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side.
Now, y'all need to know that we're obsessed with everything on the other side.
Yes, we are. Because once you learn to navigate the energetic, or to some, the invisible world, life is going to be more fun and much more serene.
Heck yes, it can. Because let's be honest. Bryn, Earth School is hard. In fact, you taught me that.
Let's crush Earth School together.
Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, 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 my witchy poo. How are you today?
I'm doing great, my elf. How are you?
Well, you know what's funny? I've actually never gotten to say hello to you with the topic of our episode,
because this is actually this is called new.
This is new. It's called Hey, Hey, Hey.
It's breakthrough.
For us, it is. So I think this episode is interesting because it's it crosses a couple of things here. So it's like a combination of an homage, but also kind of part of our book club, I think.
Possibly. Yes. Today we're talking about the extraordinary, illustrious Louise Hay, right, who was such an iconic force in this realm of spirituality, of awareness, of weaving together the physical, the energetic, spiritual so beautifully, and just carved a path that the rest of us are following. We don't get to have any of these experiences without her.
She's incredible. You know, I learned about her work probably much later in life than you did. Let's be honest. I'm a little slow to the uptake.
Okay.
You know, you went to school or you went to Earth School early. I was an Earth School dropout for a good 40 years. So I kind of encountered her, you know, a little bit later.
It's all good. And that's the beautiful thing. Her work is so iconic. Whenever you run into it, it's just eye opening and heart opening and like, so cool.
So why don't you, you know, not to put you on the spot, but I'm going to put you on the spot. Why don't you tell us a bit more about her work and what it meant to you and how maybe you've used it?
First of all, when she started her awareness, she studied in a church in New York called, I think it was called Science Mind, something like that.
Oh, Science of the Mind.
Science of the Mind. That was
you know,
it.
That's
yes.
So weird. My father grew up Science of the Mind. That's weird.
What?
Yes, isn't that weird?
This is your birthright.
It's weird, right? It's so strange. You just said that. Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, and my uncle, who is still alive, who's over 90, rarely goes to the doctor because they don't believe in medicine much. It's very interesting.
Well, they would feel like the medicine would interfere with the correct processing that your body is doing for whatever life, you know, or school course you're in the moment. Right?
Is this one of those things that I've held back that I shouldn't have held back for
exactly.
so long?
Exactly. I'm like, hello, Black Panther.
This is a Black Panther moment. It's like, oh yeah, my dad was that. That's how he grew up.
What did he do with it? I'm curious.
I don't know.
Okay. Just because he wasn't around. You didn't know.
No, he wasn't around. I mean, you know, he jumped when I was 13. But I do know my uncle, though, who lives in Cincinnati, like probably around the corner from you, has been practicing this his whole life. And he's over 90. He just turned 90 this last summer. So there's amazing. A little something to it.
Yeah, for
anyway,
real.
I totally interrupted your flow.
So she started this book, like she started this path in the early 70s, and then, you know, her path unfolded, and eventually she found herself teaching these workshops and guiding people into their own wisdom, and she put it in the iconic book. I know I keep saying that word, but there's no other word, right, that says, you know, heal your body, right? This is the path. She put it in a book so everyone could have it. And people just called it the little blue book. Like they didn't even, you know, you just knew what they were talking about. So everyone in healing circles or awareness or people who would be thinking, taking responsibility for their thoughts would be, have followed or been influenced by Louise Hay. Back in the day. This is back in the 70s. Come on, what were you all doing in the 70s, right?
Me? Well, I was, my mother's changing my diapers in the early 70s.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs>
Like if you met somebody on an elevator and they said, what? Tell me about Louise Hay. What's her work known for? Like what exactly? I mean, she talks about heal the body, but what's at the root of it?
Her path is really illuminating empowerment that says when something is going on in your body, it is a message. So when you can create space between, oh, this happened, whether it's I had an acne breakout or I broke my leg or anything in between, or cancer in her case, right? In her path, she ran into cancer. She took it as a message, an energetic message that was completely aligned to whatever situation was happening in her life. So this wasn't a mistake. This was a predictable progression of a situation that has gone unattended to.
I think that is a great way to explain it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and you're welcome.
And so with that,
I'm your biggest fan, in case you haven't
you're
heard.
So kind.
I do a podcast to talk to you. So then there's that.
but then what she would say is, so with this message that your body and your life is giving you, change your life. Take care of this, take responsibility, cultivate this message, integrate it, address it with great compassion. There was never any judgment from her. Like, oh man, you tank that, you know?
Right, you got an F.
Right.
She never said that.
Right, that she would never do that. She said, oh, great, and this is what you're going to do about it. This is how you're going to turn this into an affirmation. This is how you're going to turn this into a practice. This is, you know, this is what your life is inviting you to. This is your next lesson in Earth School, right, to put in our vernacular.
So what I loved about her work and how I understood it when I was first introduced to it, it was this concept that disease or injury starts in our emotional body, and then we bring it into our physical body. And so the way that her book about Heal Your Body, you called it, I don't even know that it's blue because I have mine on Kindle. And so it's with me all the time. No, it's seriously, it's with me all the time. I'm referencing things still to this day. I open it up. I just didn't know the cover was blue. But it's about these different, mostly emotional issues, which is what we suffer from, right? Mm-hmm. Because we are emotional creatures. In fact, my most favorite quote in the world is that we are not creatures that think and sometimes feel. We are creatures that feel and sometimes think. And so she really, I think, got like her arms around this, saying, yes, this is what we are. We are creatures that feel. And so when we feel inept, or if we are angry, if we're mad, if we are holding grudges, you know, all of these things, there are correlations into your physical body that these affect.
And so I
learned about her work when I was studying under Patricia Bankins, who we've had on the show and who I also love dearly, when I was trained as a transcrystal therapist from her. And a lot of people don't know a lot about transcrystal therapy, but it's one of the healing arts. I wouldn't say it's like, but it's in the same family of like Reiki. People know what Reiki is, I think, far more than they know what transcrystal therapy is. But we use rocks to heal. So we use the energy of stones is effectively what that is. But through that process, there's a lot of things I had to learn. One I had to learn is that where actually all of our organs were in our body. Because I was raised in Oklahoma.
You know where some of them are.
I know where the ass is. I've been called that before, so that's why I know where it is. So I had to learn all of that. And I had to learn the emotional conditions that influence the different organs or how the organs should be operating. And that's where she came in. And she, I believe she was the one who kind of coined this idea using the word disease as dis-ease. I think it was her.
Was that one of them? She, Jean Houston, Wayne Dyer, they all came up together, right?
Oh, so, okay. So it's part of, she's part of a club that came up with the dis-ease.
Together, they like that's the cornerstone, like the founding fathers and mothers
of the healing arts, right?
Yeah, of the healing arts, of the empowerment.
Right. So one of the really interesting and incredibly powerful story that Patricia told in our class moved me so greatly and really helped me understand about the work that I was embarking upon. And one of the stories that she talked about was actually the year prior. So the class she was teaching the year prior, same class, they had somebody that came in. They had like a woman who volunteered to come in, and she had been to the medical doctor, and the medical doctor told her that she had congestive heart failure. And so Patricia got her class together to, you know, support this woman. So what happened was this woman was in this class for like 6 hours. They were working on her with her, and this woman apparently cried, like literally just tears rolled down her face for 5 or 6 hours, something like that. She later goes back to the doctor, and the doctor said, I don't know what you did or what's happened, but you actually don't have any more signs of congestive heart failure. And I don't want to tell people.
This is a classic Louise Hayes story.
Well, actually, this is actually a classic Patricia Bankin story to me. And so what happened when Patricia shared the story and then she was talking about, here's what I think it was, is that, you know, this woman really held all of her emotions inside, right? And so she said, this isn't literal, so don't take it literal, but like the fluid around her heart, because she said, think of it like they were tears. And so she had to get
those. She cried it out.
She cried it out.
Yeah.
And it was it's so incredibly powerful. I think I had tears when I was listening to the story. But what's interesting.
I'm shocked by that.
right? Thank you. You're empathic elf. But what was really, really fascinating about it is that not only that experience in the classroom, but I later had to go to New York, maybe a few weeks later, for business. And I sat with an old friend of mine from like 25 years. And I'm telling her the story about this class and about this woman who had congestive heart failure. And so my friend Nancy looked at me after I told her the story, and she, crying is not the right word. Sobbing maybe would be a good word. And I looked at her and said, and I grabbed her hand across the table because that's what I do. And I said, what's wrong? I'm so sorry. What did I, you know? And she goes, that's how my mom died. And she said, and that woman that you described is my mother. She goes, my mother did not get those emotions. She just couldn't do it. And she's like, I'm just so glad to know the why. And she's like, so I'm just crying because I feel like you just solved a puzzle for me.
She needed to be affirmed, right?
She needed to understand it. Now, as we talk about this, I think it's really important for people to understand that no one thinks you're weak if these are things that you're dealing with, because I certainly have stories of shit I've dealt with, and we'll dive into those too.
My generous elf.
Yeah, well, if anybody's done anything wrong, I think I've done most of it wrong. But boy, I've learned from it. But it doesn't mean it's wrong. It doesn't mean you're bad. It also doesn't, you know, you have to really work and focus on this to shift really who you are in the moment to move past any of these ailments, maybe, proper word to say.
Well, and what I'd say is messages. They're guideposts, right?
Yeah, they are.
The heart state holds so much, and it sometimes it just needs relief. Like it really, like it's just so stuck and it's literally congested, right? And so you need that relief. And for some people, that relief is going to be a 5-hour crying session. For some people, it's going to be, I'm going to take up weightlifting. You know, I'm going to get strong. I'm going to work my cardiovascular system to get strong. Like, so it comes in different forms. Louise would not be prescriptive and says it has to be this. She would invite you into an affirmation for you to find your own way. And you can change the affirmation, you can edit it, but you have to be following your own guidance. And that's what.
And to always stay in touch with your Western doctor too. Like, this is not a replacement. This is a combination. Mm-hmm. I just want to say it out loud.
It's complimentary.
And I'll say it again, is that when you have both working together, you have a much better shot, right? Than just choosing one. And exactly. I just, again, work both together, you have a better shot. So what are some of the affirmations from Heal Your Body? Like,
when we come back from our break, we'll jump into that.
Of course, when we come back from the damn break.
Nice.
It's been 30 years since the first episode of Beverly Hills 90210. 30 years since we walked the halls of West Beverly High, and since we all hung out at the Peach Pit. Relive it all with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling on their new podcast, 90210MG.
We get to tell the fans all of the behind-the-scenes stories that actually happened.
Join them as they rewatch every episode of the beloved 90s TV show from the very beginning. Listen to 90210MG on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you ever wish you could get more from your podcast? Well, you can with BuzzFeed Daily, hosted by me, Casey Rackham.
And me, Zach Safford. On our show, we've got more good news and more pop culture.
More memes and more celebrity tea.
More of everything that's blowing up your timeline and trending on the internet.
Every weekday evening, we're giving you more of what you need to enjoy your day. Because what's life if it isn't to be enjoyed?
Listen to BuzzFeed Daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, we are back from Brenda's self-imposed break. I did not agree to that break, but we had it nonetheless. So with that, I would love for my witchy poo to actually talk to us about maybe what some of these conditions are and what some of the mantras are that she recommends.
Just some general examples. And again, you know, I highly recommend, it's a small book, small but mighty. And just to have it around, just to begin to train your mind as you look up these different conditions or situations that we run into in Earth School. And you can see how she's pivoting and teaching you about how the body holds energy is what she's teaching you. For example, any outbreaks on the skin. So whether it's, you know, acne or a rash or blood vessels that get broken, anything on the skin, she would say are small outbursts of anger that don't have an outlet, right? So they have to, it has to come out somewhere. So it's going to come out sideways through the skin, which is our largest organ, right? And so the mantra would be, I calm my thoughts and I am serene.
Let's all say that one more time. I calm my thoughts and I am serene. We could be a duet.
We could be. Yeah. You're going to put this to music, aren't you? I can tell.
I am. No, I will. I'll start drumming.
I feel a song coming on.
I'll start drumming soon with my native drums. It'll be awesome.
Nice. Now, again, if I am seething in anger about something and I move into a mantra of I calm my thoughts and I'm serene, chances are that might make me a little more edgy. But what happens is that when you say that, you can actually identify what's boiling up a little easier. So it actually can help if I give myself an outlet and I can start journaling, I can phone a friend, I can actually speak to whoever I'm angry about.
Wait, did you just play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Because I think those are the options that they have when you can't get an answer right, are those things.
You can, yes, you can phone a friend. Right, but literally, like sometimes it's, or, you know, get a therapist or, you know, whatever, but give yourself the opportunity to process, right? When she gives you an affirmation, if it triggers you, pay attention to it. Use the affirmation. It's a key. It's not supposed to be, you know, like I'm going to cover up this seething with, that's called a spiritual bypass, and it always has a boomerang effect. You don't want to go there.
Right. Okay. I think that's you're absolutely right. And again, it's important to understand who you are to know how you can go deal with it. Like there are people who I know, I have a very close friend that is a pediatrician in San Francisco. And her name is Dr. Tanya. And Tanya works for the state and the county. So you can imagine the kind of work she has to do every day. And so for her to work through that, what she does every single day, and I've known her for 20 plus years, she goes for a 2-hour run. Yeah. That is how she has to get that out of her body in order to show up the next day.
Right. Good for
and
her.
She's never had acne.
Impressive on so many levels. So another example that many people deal with, which is high blood pressure, right? And so Louise would say this is a long-standing emotional problem that is unresolved. And her affirmation, her invitation is, I joyously release the past. I am at peace. I joyously release the past. I am at peace.
So I have a reminder of that, just so you know, because your alpha is a little emotional, and everybody's emotional. But I know how I deal with it. I have Lord Ganesh all over the house because part of what he teaches us is every day is a new day. You actually get to start again. He removes blocks. He does lots of things, but one of them is you get to start the day anew. And part of that,
he's the keeper of thresholds.
Yeah.
Right. So the sacred threshold of a new day, let it be new. Don't carry over.
Exactly. Right?
Bring your wisdom, but that's it.
But not your garbage.
Not your garbage.
Bring your wisdom, not your garbage. I would not have been a good Hindu god. That's all I have to say. I don't think.
Good to know.
If you guys have to understand that if Brenda and I were physically in the same location, she would have either thrown shit at my head or would have thumped my head because she's done that many times. She flicks it, kind of thumps it, and that's what exactly that would have been.
Who says I would not be a good Hindu god? Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Lord Ganesh, oh God.
Yeah, no, hello. Well, you just said, oh my God, oh my God. I'm like, well, yes, hello. I am a Hindu. No, I'm just kidding.
Do you would like to say anything else about Lord Ganesh? Can we move
no,
on?
No, we can definitely move on.
I am now crying. Oh my God. Oh, mercy. Okay, we are moving on. So what Louise would say, St. Louise.
St. Louise. Hey.
Injuries, wounds, right? Things that where you are literally injuring yourself is punishment for not following your own rules. And the affirmation would be, I create a life filled with rewards.
I love that.
Create a life filled with rewards.
Because see, people think that injuries are accidents. And I'm like, is it? Yeah, you know, because people say that, like, oh, I hurt my back carrying a mattress. It was like, an accident. I said, I don't really think that's what I'd call it. So let's have a chat.
Well, this, and I know for me personally, this, I get this a lot.
Oh my God. Okay. Confession. This is a confessional, everybody.
This is a confession. So for me, this sounds so where I know I am not centered when I run into things. Like, I'll take a corner too fast. But impale myself because I'm overly scheduled. I move fast. I have to get to the next thing. Da, da, da. And so I literally, I'm like, oh, could not be any clearer. I just, just hit a wall, literally.
Well, and for you, it's you being like that is not your rules.
Oh,
you get outside of that. And that's when you start doing, I've seen you do that.
Yeah. I try, I say yes to too many things. And then I'm like, oh, I blew by all my boundaries.
Yep, right.
No. And it's not a punishment. It's a course correction, right? That gives me a chance to line back up with my intention of how I want to live. So it's a huge invitation. And so when I do it, you know, after I'm like, ouch. And I'm like, oh, thank you. I got that one, right? That's, to me, that's the affirmation. Thank you. I got that one. I don't need the 2x4 aside the head. I just needed to stub my toe or, you know, run my body into a wall.
Right. And there's no reason to be upset about it. That's when you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank
I'm not upset
you.
At all. I'm
thank
so,
you for alerting me.
Yeah. I'm so clear. Got
to
it.
Being a dipshit. That's how I say it.
Totally.
Again, not a good Hindu god I would be.
But very clear about boundaries. Mm-hmm. And then just another one that I think is really quite relevant. It's all about respiratory ailments. Right, it comes in a lot of different forms, whether it's asthma or allergies or whatever. It's an inflamed family environment. Now, family can be defined in many different ways, right? So are there arguments or yelling, sometimes silence, right? We know that that passive-aggressive aspect of shutting someone off is just as damaging as yelling, right? And so the affirmation is, I declare peace and harmony within me and around me.
I love that. What's the best way for someone to practice the mantras and how often? So once they understand, so everybody's going to buy the blue book and they realize that, you know, they have respiratory ailments and they identify with why, and here's a mantra. How often should they practice it?
Again, follow your own guidance is always the preferred. My default is 40 days because that's, it has to do with the brain chemistry and how we learn new patterns. And so that's a nice
solid It's not
number.
Noah's Ark, because that sounds like a Noah's Ark guidance.
It can be Noah's Ark if you'd like.
Okay.
But it has to do with the brain chemistry as well, which they didn't know back in the day when they did 40 days of practice of things. So that's my comfort zone. For a lot of people, they like one and done, and they would not recommend that. The other thing is I like doing things for at least 3 minutes. Or if you have a mala, a japa mala practice, you know, you can do the 108 malas or, you know, something like that. That's to do that. That's comfortable for me as well.
That's fantastic. I think it's important for folks to understand. It's like, okay, I see this, but now it's like when you're cooking and have ingredients. If you just listed ingredients and didn't tell them how much, God knows what they would bake.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't bake like that. You can cook like that, but you can't bake like that.
Right.
But to have that specific 3 minutes a day for 40 days, we'll get it done. We'll change the frequency in which things are vibrating. And it doesn't mean that, you know, your situation will be gone entirely, but it's shifted. So then you may want to adjust the mantra a little bit or the affirmation.
I'm just making a note. So remember the number 120. And then you just divide it by three, and knowing that you have to do it for 3 minutes for 40 days. That was my weird elf math.
That is nerdy elf at her best.
I can't help it. I mean, I can make a spreadsheet about all this crap. Don't worry.
So before we go on, we're just going to take one more break.
Break.
Hey, y'all, what up? It's Jess Hilarious, and I'm here to tell y'all that I'm launching my podcast, Carefully Reckless, on the Black Effect Network. I'm going to be telling y'all all my business and telling y'all other people's business, too. It ain't no limits to the things I talk about. Y'all know that if y'all know me. From baby mama drama to healthy relationships, from child support to stimulus checks. Look, when you take a step back and you realize that we all go through crazy stuff and we got stories to tell, those situations do not define you. But they do make for a real good conversation. In a world where clickbait and cancel culture can tell your story before you do, I'm creating an outlet to remind people that we still human, crazy, and we can all laugh about it. Don't stress over it. Bring your problems to me. I promise I won't judge you, but I might crack a joke or two. Don't be scared. It'll be respectful and messy at the same time. Just make sure you tune in. Listen to Carefully Reckless on January 20th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Alec Baldwin. Listen to my podcast, Here's the Thing, on iHeartRadio. It's my chance to talk with artists, policymakers, and performers, like the actress Kristen Bell.
And the moment I said, you know what, I have a thing, and it's a quirky, weird, fun thing that can be snarky, and I love doing it, I do it pretty well, why not lean into it? And that is when I felt like I started becoming happier.
Music legend Mick Fleetwood.
Fleetwood Mac was always about change, so that you were accepted for who you were.
Former governor of Vermont, Howard Dean.
I took the call, and this quavering voice on the other end of the phone says, I regret to inform you that the governor has died of a heart attack and you're the governor. That was the end of my medical practice.
And best-selling author Isabel Wilkerson.
People would come up to me of all different backgrounds and would say to me, I had no idea that this happened in our country.
If you like listening as much as I like talking with interesting people, go to heresthething.org and subscribe now on the iHeart app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, we are back again from another one of Brenda's solely initiated imposed breaks. I know where I wanted to go was actually I was going to ask you, do you remember, I guess it was like 6 or 7 years ago, and I had that really gnarly ear problem, my hearing problem.
That.
Remember how I was a mess? So
it was like you couldn't hear, so you couldn't think.
It was the craziest thing. So what happened was I had gone to Buffalo, New York to go see my Aunt Marlene. And my Aunt Marlene was making her stroll out of her body. I mean, she was
on her exit ramp.
She was landing the plane, so to speak. And so I was there. And when I was there with her and with my cousin Kristen, I started getting congested, right? So you see a pattern here. I'm glad you talked about congestion. And I got on a plane to fly home. When I landed, I couldn't hear. And I thought, oh, this has happened before. You know, a couple days go by, still couldn't hear. I go and I see an ear specialist, and he puts me in one of those little boxes, little telephone boxes things with the, like the, yeah, the, with the headset on.
Yeah.
It actually reminded me of the box that I had to sit in for days when I was recording the audio version of my book. I was having major trauma about it because of this.
Post-traumatic stress.
It totally was. But he put these headphones on me. He walks in and he says, push this button when you hear a sound. Right. So about 15 minutes later, he comes in and goes, why aren't you pushing the button? I said, I didn't hear anything.
Why aren't you giving me any sounds, dude?
I'm like, I didn't hear anything. That's how bad my hearing was. So he went and checked. He's like, oh, gosh, your left ear. You wait another day or so, that would have been infected. We would have had to take that out. Like, I mean, it was some gnarly kind of stuff. So we ended up having to put those earplugs in, the tubes like little kids get. So I'm a 40-whatever-year-old with ear tube with tubes in my ear.
And let me just also say, and you know, she has some really interesting things to say when adults run into childhood ailments like this.
Oh, what'd she say?
Right, because she
did she say
you
that
are
those
healed.
People would not make very good
Hindu gods.
Hindu gods.
She may say that, but I'm not exactly sure about that one. But what she would say, right, is you're actually healing something that is unresolved from your childhood.
Interesting.
Right. So as you're sending your aunt off,
right
you could be having resolving some things from your own.
Sure. I mean, God knows I've been doing that for a long time. Yeah. But it was, you know, when it was going on, I was aware and had already been working with Louise Hay's work. And when I looked about the hearing, it was interesting. It said, rejection, stubbornness, isolation. I'm like, oh yeah, that sounds familiar. And then it says, to this day. And then it says, what don't you want to hear? Right. Don't bother me. And you know, there's a lot of things I didn't want to hear. And I certainly didn't want to hear or face the fact that my Aunt Marlene, who is someone who has been, was a consistent source of love and adoration in my life from the time I was born. And I think I was having a hard time with that. And I didn't want to fucking hear it.
Didn't want to deal with it.
I didn't. I couldn't, you know.
It was too much. It was too much loss.
It was. And
you weren't going to make it, right?
Yep.
I'm just going to shut that down.
Yep.
May have overshot my mark.
I totally overshot my mark. But this is, I think, a really powerful example of how this operates, how this works. And I am glad I went through it because I learned, right? Mm-hmm. It was painful. I had those suckers in for 6 months. I would have to shower with earplugs. And the funny thing is, since then, since I understand it, I have no hearing issues. In fact, I hear incredibly well. In fact, mm-hmm. It kind of freaks Suzanne out. It does. I mean, it's like very intense.
Isn't that beautiful?
And yeah, because now I'm fine to hear even those things that I don't think that I want to. But the funny thing is that through this whole, I guess, journey of mine, there's really nothing I don't want to hear. It's all fine because I'm good no matter what. And that's also, I think, a big lesson from Louise is that you're fine no matter what.
Right. It's so beautiful. And again, please, I encourage you to, you know, get on YouTube, find some video of her because there's lots and lots, and she's published many books, and they're all such positivity and empowerment. And like you said, no fear, right? There's no fear. It's just, oh, this is what it is. It's really simple. And it doesn't mean it's easy to work this path. It just is very accessible. And she did it beautifully.
Yeah, she sure did. And for those that aren't aware, is that she actually launched Hay House Publishing in 1984.
Oh, see, I thought that was something everyone would know.
Well, maybe everyone doesn't. So for those that don't, know that Louise launched Hay House Publishing in 1984 to support authors in the spiritual space. In fact, there's a few friends of mine that have published their book through Hay House. I mean, one is Kathy Bird, who we're eventually going to have on the show. And the other one that we've talked a lot about is her first book, Anita Morjani, also published through there. There's a couple quotes. Do you mind? I say you guys, like there's more of you in the room.
Me and all my spirit guides.
Me, yeah, well, right, it's a herd. Do you and your herd mind? There's a couple of her quotes that I think are really powerful. Do you mind if I kind of just cruise through some really fast?
That's fantastic. Oh, I've already overused the word, but these are iconic phrases of hers that encapsulate huge paradigms of powerful living guidance.
Yeah. In fact, this one, the first one, is one that you all have probably heard quite a bit, but it may be different incarnations of it. But it says, I do not fix problems. I fix my thinking. The problems fix themselves. Right? So I mean, wonderful. That is the core of who she is. That is the core of her teaching was that. And then she talks about, you know, you have the power to heal your life and you need to know that. We think so often that we are helpless, but we're not. We always have the power of our minds. Claim and consciously use your power, ladies.
And this is, again, she lived this. She walked this path herself, and then she gave it to us. It was amazing. And I love this one. If you accept a limiting belief, then it will become truth for you. I mean, when I'm working with people, I'm always saying, why are you limiting that which is unlimited? Including you, including the divine? Like, why are you putting parameters? Because you're fearful? That's not good enough reason. You know, stop it. Right? Why are you limiting that which is unlimited? There's no reason. Someone gave it to you. It feels like it's safer, but it's just not real. But if you believe it, if you live that way, that's what you will experience, including within your own skin.
Right? And she teaches so much, you know, about loving yourself and about how it's hard for you to love another if you don't love yourself. And this one I thought was incredibly powerful because, oh Lord, in my years, and I'm sure, Brenda, in your years, you have encountered so much of the same. when you talk to folks that had, you know, difficult relationships with their mother, with their father, how they felt like they weren't loved. And this is one of her quotes that I thought was so magnificent is, if your mother did not know how to love herself, or your father did not know how to love himself, then it would be impossible for them to teach you to love yourself. So if you're one of those folks, there's some work to do about loving yourself and really work with this body of work that Louise Hay has done to help get you in that right direction, because it's never too late. It is absolutely possible at any minute, any day, any time for you to work on that. And if you're sheltering in place, or if you're just a hermit,
you got to do something. You might as well do this.
I got to do something. Might as well love myself.
Might as well raise your vibe, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly what she's talking about there. It's so beautiful. Thank you for being with us to remember and pay homage to and honor Louise Hay, and, you know, let us share our specific experiences with her. You know, she transitioned peacefully in her sleep August 2017, at the age of 90. And I just have so much gratitude for this groundbreaking, inspiring, magical woman and the work she did on the planet relentlessly, and how she invited others into this space and upheld them and shared them generously with all of us. We're so lucky to have had her.
We certainly were, or have been. And I'm telling you, anytime that you hear, hey, or hey, 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 go tap into her book, man. Like, go in there and see what she has to say.
Get your guidance. And remember, first school is hard.
Without Louise Hay and The Other Side. And Louise Hay on The Other Side. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, my witchy poo.
Thank you, my owl. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And a special thanks to our producer, Maya Cole, who guides us while we guide you.
Hit us up on Instagram at Other Side Guides, or shoot us a note at othersideguides@iheartradio.com. And you can even call us at 833-22-GUIDE to leave us a message.
We want to know what you think, we want to know what you know, and we want to hear your stories.
And remember,
Earth School is hard
without The Other Side. Insider's Guide to The Other Side is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.